off at the top of Gimel and Aleph, we were discussing the requirement of saying b'fanechtam when a shliach brings a get from Chutz Laretz, and we were focusing first on Rava's understanding of this din, that the reason for this halacha is that we're afraid, again, a very small concern, but a possible concern, that maybe the sofer wrote the get, the beis that was administering the get, weren't proficient enough in Chutz Gittin, and maybe they weren't familiar with the halacha that the get has to be written l'shma. And therefore, we want to just be absolutely 100% sure that this get is acceptable. Before, we insist on the shaliach telling us b'fanechtam, and he in fact saw, he witnessed the get being written, the get being signed. The problem that the Gemara dealt with in the previous year was, why do we let one aid suffice? Why don't we require two aids? Which the Gemara concluded that it's not really a problem anyway. Min haTorah, there's really nothing to be concerned with. The odds of it happening are so unlikely. But mid the Rabbanon, we are concerned. And therefore, mid the Rabbanon, we're going to be makel. We're going to be makel to let you get away with one aid. We should be guna kilim Rabbanon. We don't want to make life too difficult for this woman. Before, don't insist on two aid. One aid, one shliach is sufficient. So it's on this conclusion that the Gemara says is that it's basically a clue, basically a leniency to accept one aid. The Gemara questions on the very top line of Gemara Aleph, is that really true? Is this really a kula? Hai kula chumru. Sometimes in life we think that we're having a kula. You never know, a kula may end up to be a chumra. Why is that? The imat chaslay trei. Because if you go ahead and insist on having two, even though it's a little bit difficult now, lo asi ba ma'aru posalei. But at least that will protect the woman in the future, because the husband won't be able to question, won't be able to potentially come in a month from now and claim that the get is possible. His lev apishnayim edim yachom davar to aid them will be testified to the kashrus of the get. But if you're quote unquote so makil, you're going to let her get away with one aid, one shliach, asi balam ara posalei. So then you're setting her up for potential disaster, because the husband may come in a few months down the line and declare that the get is possible. And that would be a pickle, because it's going to be his word against the shliach's word, not going to be so simple. So you think you're doing her a favor. The whole goal is to do this woman a favor. Let her get off easy and just have one aid. That's not such a good strategy. It's better to have two aidim to protect her in the long run. Says the Gemara, nah, don't worry about the long run. There's nothing to worry about in the future. Why? There is a sugya later on which teaches how many people have to be present when the shliach gives the get to the woman. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. There was a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Chanam v'nei beis, v'chanam v'nei gimel. So one opinion was that the get has to be given in front of two people. The shliach speaks to two people. We make like a quasi beis of two. And the other one says we make a beis of three. Now, why two, why three? That's a sugya a little bit later on. That, hey, hopefully we'll get to that in a couple of shurim down the line. But the bottom line is that the giving of this get is not going to be done in private. It's going to be done in front of a few people, whether a few means two or a few means three. Why does that help us? May kara medik dayik. Therefore, the shaliach doesn't want to look like a fool. The shaliach is going to come in front of the court, and he's going to say, b'fanechtam, and tomorrow the husband's going to say, l'hoi yudvariyot, the whole thing was a sham, it wasn't even true. So the shaliach's not going to set himself up for that, and therefore he's going to be very, very careful to make sure he to get the man, plus you have to do something that's going to make him look bad. So basically, we're going to believe the shliach down the line. So again, the Gemara thought we have two possibilities now. How many shlichim should we insist? How many people do we really insist on testifying that this get is kosher? So the Mishnah says the strange thing, one is enough. Fanechtam can be done by one shliach. He asks the Gemara, why don't you need two? And the Gemara, well, we want to give you a cooler. We want to be makel. So he asks the Gemara, what do you mean? You want to be makel. You're setting the woman up for a recipe for disaster. Concludes the Gemara, there's no disaster. Nothing's going to go wrong. He's never going to come. The husband's not going to come anyway. And even if he comes, we're going to ignore him. Because since the shliach made that first recitation, b'fanechtam, in front of a group of people, whether it's two or three, obviously he's telling the truth. So the din stands, the mishnah stands, that maybe get din sayam, there is no need to have two shlichim testify. One shliach should do the trick. So up until now, we've been learning the sugya through the eyes of Rava. Now the Gemara is about to switch. Ula Rava, according to Rava, the Amar Lefisha Ein Eidim Etzurim L'Kaimo, Rava was the one who said that the purpose of a Fanechtam is just to make sure that in case we have a question, trying to confirm the signatures down the line, if somebody throws a question into the authenticity of the signatures at a later point, we will have what's called kiyum shtaros. Kiyum shtaros usually is done by two witnesses. Here, we're letting you get away with the kiyum shtaros done by one. He asks the Gemara, why? We buy tray. Let's require two. Mida the havia kiyum shtaros the alma. The same way, whenever we have any question about the authenticity of a signature on a document, we don't let you get away with one aid. We insist on two aidim. So the similar question that we said within Rava's worldview, why, according to Rava, who's concerned that what we're trying to accomplish is kiyum shtaros, why don't we require two like any other kiyum shtaros? It's the Gemara, a very familiar answer. And echad abisurim, the same as the Gemara, start trying to abeis and abeis. No, this is different. This is not dinim mamonis. This is not dollars and cents. This is isurim. We're trying to figure out, is this woman permissible or prohibited? When it comes to isurim, echad abisurim. The same way your wife tells you that the food is kosher, so the Eidecha tells us that the get is kosher as well. Yes, wait a second. When do we apply the rule of Eidecha Nebisurin? You're on Chaticha, Safik Shel Chaylev, Safik Shel Shuman. That's when you have a piece of meat in front of us. We don't know whether it's prohibited fat or it's permissible fat. The lo is chazik yisur, that's the key phrase. That's lo is chazik yisur. Keep that phrase in the back burner. We're going to get some of the Ian Shurim. We're spending quite some time with that phrase. The lowest chazik yisura. That's when I have a piece of food. I have no idea, was it also, was it not also, a 50-50 chance. Then in Eidechen is believed. I'm a chocha. It's chazik yisura deshas ish. Over here, this woman's been married for 20 years. We know she's been asura. This is something that's changing a marriage issue. You're taking a married woman and declaring her to be single? An Ein Echad can do that? That's absurd. An Ein Echad can take a piece of food and say the food is kosher. An Ein Echad cannot take a married woman and say she's no longer married. Therefore, back to square one, we should need two Eidim. So why in the world does the Mishnah let us get away with one mere shaliach testifying that the get is kosher? Answers the Gemara, Bedinu, Me'ika Mikra Din Min HaTorah, the Bekiyam Shtaros, Namiloli Boy. You don't really need two witnesses for Kiyam Shtaros. That whole principle of Kiyam Shtaros, namely, I walk at the Beis Din with a document that says you owe me $1,000. And you start screaming that document is a forgery. So we all know the Mishnah tells us in Subas, I have to go and now prove that these witnesses are authentic. I have to bring two witnesses who recognize the signatures. I have to bring in canceled documents from another case. We can compare signatures. There's a whole procedure called kiyum shtaros, and that has to be done through two witnesses. Answers the Gemara, that requirement of doing kiyum shtaros through two witnesses is all the chumrah midirabbanan. It was made up by the chachamim. Me'ikar adin min haTorah, there's no need to ever do kiyum shtaros. Why is that? Kidderei shlokish, because shlokish presented us the following formula, Damarei Shlokish, and remember this formula very well because this is also going to be a topic for a couple of weeks of Shiurim in the future. Damarei Shlokish. Eidim ha-chasumim ha-mashtar nasu kibisha nechbar edusim b'vezdin. Eidim that are signed on a document is what we call signed, sealed, and delivered. It's over, it's done, it's history. Eidim that signed on a document, it's as if those Eidim have already been interrogated and b'vezdin. The testimony has been accepted, and the shtar is valid in HaTorah. What the Gemara is basically telling us is that the counterclaim of Mezuyah, for me to say that a document is a forgery, doesn't exist in HaTorah. If you'd be in the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu, and I would come with a document that says you owe me $1,000, and there's Eidim signed on the bottom, I would get the $1,000. I hear yelling and screaming, what do you mean it's a forgery? It's a forgery, it's Mezuyah. Well, Gornish, that's meaningless. Amrish Lokish. Why that's so? But the parameters of that, how the world of Chazal figured that out, there's a load of sugyas. Those are just little, you know, tip of an ayam right now. We're going to come to that in weeks and months to come. But since the halacha is that Eidim HaChasum HaLashtar is as if the testimony is over, so the entire requirement of Kiyum Shtaros for Rabbanim V'Da'atzruch, it was the rabbis, it was the Chachamim who instituted Kiyum Shtaros. For Hacha Mishabiguna, sounds like a similar from before. In order to make life easier for this woman, Akila Barabana. The Chachamim were very, very lenient. And they said there's no need to do it with two. We'll make you do it with one. Two is a little bit too much, Mishabiguna. So not a great surprise. The Gemara asks the identical question. Haikulu Chumru. It's not a kula. If your goal is to make life easy for the woman, this is a very, very poor strategy. In life, sometimes we like to take the shortcut. As we probably all learned more than once, taking the shortcut doesn't always mean it's going to save you in the long run. So too over here, you think you're taking the shortcut. You think you're giving your kula. You're making life easy for the woman and not insisting on two shlichim, two agents, two witnesses to testify about the validity of the get. Haikulu chumru. This is going to lead to a big chumru down the line. The imatzchus leitrei. Because if you insist on two witnesses to declare the authenticity of the document, then the husband will never be able to ruin this document, will never be able to ruin this get in years to come. But Chad, if you just follow what it says in the Mishnah, and you follow the easy way out, and you just let one witness testify, then you're opening yourself up for a disaster, because the husband's going to come, it's going to be one-on-one, he's going to be believed. Answer the Gemara, like we said before, there's nothing to worry about. Cave under Amamab if they come and Osnola. Since we've already learned on the hey, in front of how many witnesses is this get presented to? In front of how many dayonim really is this get presented to? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, Chalim, Rabbi Shnayim, Rabbi Shlosha. One set in front of two, one set in front of three. So the giving of this get, with the saying, with the recitation, Befayanecha, is a big deal. And therefore, the shaliach doesn't want to look like a fool. He's going to come into Beis Din, he's huffing and puffing from Dinas Hayam. He presents the get, and he says, b'fanei nechtam, in front of the Beis Din, in the middle of the city. And then tomorrow, the husband comes and says, the guy's a liar. No one's going to do that. Meikar meidignai. Obviously, the shaliach telling the truth. The shaliach's going to be medayek. He's going to make certain that this get was authentic. And he's not going to want to ruin his own reputation. So when all the dust settles, we, in a certain sense, finish the first sugya. Namely, we have the basic din in the Mishnah of the requirement to say b'fanei nechtam. We had Rabba's understanding because ein b'kiyum lishma. We had Rava's understanding where afraid witnesses may not be around at a later point to authenticize the documents. Rabba had to explain why we let you get away with one. Rava had to explain why we get away with one. But everyone's good. Robert did his job. You would expect the singing would end. So that's very good. But that leads us to believe that he's probably telling the truth. It's almost like a row, like the majority is, the overwhelming odds are, no one's going to set themselves up to look foolish. So therefore, again, Minat Torah, this whole problem has been solved. Minat Torah, none of this is true. Because Minat Torah, we have a robe that was written in the Shema, and Minat Torah, we have a document, so Eidim HaChasub L'Ashtar is Kedech L'Shudus on Minat Torah. So this whole thing was Chachamim. So the Chachamim, who in a sense made up these concerns, were willing to suffice with the small... No, but Minat Torah, you don't need Kim Shams. Minat Torah, you don't need Kim Shams, because Eidim HaChasub L'Ashtar, so Minat Torah, the taina of the husband is meaningless. Midirabbanan, we can accept the claim of the husband. For that, we're willing to be out of the comfort zone that most probably the Shlech is telling the truth. So comes the Gemara now and says, just because we explained independently Rav and independently Rava, now the Gemara goes on to the next level. For Rava, my time lo amakir Rava. So why didn't Rava say Rava's reason? Rava's reason was so good. Lishma, ain't it became Lishma? Why did Rava have to look for a different reason? Amalach, Rava said, I'll tell you what's wrong with Rava's reason. Mik tani b'fai nechta v'lishma, b'fai nechta v'lishma. It doesn't say the word Lishma in the Mishnah. According to Rava, but we would say, Ika chos min ha-sefer. The whole point of the Mishnah, according to Rava, is to prove that it was written Lishma. Nobody said it Lishma. So Rava's looking at the Mishnah and says, how in the world can Rava's scrap be correct? V'Rava. How would Rava respond to that? B'dinu d'listihachi. Rava says, the truth is, the Shaliach really should have said the words, b'fanei nechtav Lishma. That makes more sense. Ella, Chazal were afraid to have him say that word, even though that's the most important word. They didn't want him to say that text. Why? Ella, the imaf shas ledibura, there's a cloud of light. We don't want to talk too much. If you talk, the more you talk, the more you get yourself into trouble. So if we start telling the shaliach, say the following text, b'fanei nechtav lishma, b'fanei nechtav lishma, asil migziyei, he may forget a word. He may forget to say that magic word of lishma. And therefore, he will not have fulfilled the takanas chachamim. And what is so terrible if he didn't fulfill the takanas chachamim? The get's possible. That's the Gemara a little bit later on. That if you bring a get from Chutz Laaretz and you don't do kedas chadim like you're supposed to, the entire get is thrown into very, very serious question. That's the Gemara a little bit later on. That hey, to what extent that get is possible? But the get is not acceptable anymore. So therefore, we are very nervous that we want to make this takana very easy. This is almost like an issue we find in many takanas of chavims. On the one hand, we want to make a takana because we have a concern. On the other hand, we don't want to make it too confusing. In life, the less variables you have, the better off it is. We're just talking in shul. We're trying to figure out the schedule for the yonim. We're trying to figure out with Erev Rosh Hashanah, with slichas, with prusbuler. So I came up with this grandiose plan. We'll switch this bit to here, this bit into that. We got 14 different switches, like a 16, a complicated trade. We'll switch all that. So one of the gevurim shul said, Rabbi Chilus Kvaychal, he said, the less changes you make, the better. The more you throw people off, the more you have people coming at the wrong time. So that's exactly what the Gemara says. The more you say, the more chance of error. So if you add that extra word, aslamigzir, people forget to say it. So Hashtanami says the Gemara, well, if you're really worried about error, aslamigzir, people are going to leave out one of the words. The guy's going to walk in and say, b'fanai. The Gemara says, nah. Chadamitlas goyiz, chadamitaybilo goyiz. That means one out of three words people may forget because there's a phrase, b'fanai nechtav. I was supposed to say l'shma, so I forgot. No one's going to walk to bed and say, b'fanai, in front of me. In front of you. Wow. You didn't finish the sentence. You didn't finish the phrase even. So therefore, we're much, much less concerned. So the bottom line is that Rava claimed that the fact that the word Lishma isn't in the Mishnah, that's proof positive that Rava's pshat is not correct. To which Rava responded, no, it's not true. It's not in the Mishnah because of some technical quirk, because we want you to get the point across without insisting on saying the word. So it's a very, very strange thing according to Rava. Because when all the dust settles, the shaliach comes and he says, "B'fanai nechdav." He didn't get to the punchline. He never really said the Shema. So there's an interesting machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So what happens next? So the shaliach comes in and he says, "B'fanai nechdav." But we really want to know the Shema. We're plotting to know the real information. So Rashi says, "We ask it from the side. It's not the formal takanas chacham of b'fanai that we don't want to insist as the formal takanah that he says the words, lest he forget to say the word." But says Rashi, of course we're going to ask him afterwards. And Tosfos says, we're not asking him afterwards. The Gemara doesn't say to ask him afterwards. He's going to say b'fanai nechdav, and we're going to hope and pray. What he means is b'fanai nechdav l'shma. Very dangerous, very risky, according to Tosfos pshat. That's why Tosfos lives pshat in the Gemara. So the bottom line is, according to Rava, we're good. We understand why Rava didn't like Rav's pshat, but now the Gemara flips the tables. The Gemara says, for Rava, my time, I'm a Rava. Why didn't Rava say like Rava? Rava's pshat was so smooth, so much easier to understand. It has nothing to do with the Shema. It's simply to enable us to have a Kiyam Shtaris. So Amalech, so Rava would respond, Imkain, Nisne b'fanei nechtam, v'sulo, b'fanei nechtam lamali. Says Rava, if you're right, that the goal of b'fanei nechtam is to prove the signatures are accurate, why are you talking about the writing of the get? Who cares about the writing of the get? You should simply say, b'fanei nechtam. It was sealed, it was signed in front of me, which is all the information that you want. Shema mina, says Rabbah, but in the Shema. Clearly, from the fact that Chazal instituted the double lashon of b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, that's a proof that that's nothing to do with Eidim signing. It has to do with the get being done the Shema. How would Rabbah respond to that? According to Rabbah, why in the world do we say b'fanei nechtav? Who cares about the writing of the get? So Rabbah has a fascinating response. B'dinu the list hachi. The truth is, you're right. There's no reason to say b'fanei nechtav. So why are we saying it for? The imkain asi lechlufe b'kim shtaris diyam b'edechad. Rava has a concern literally from left field. Rava says, what's happening when the shliach walks in is kim shtaris. That's really what's taking place according to Rava. The shliach is identifying the signatures b'fanei nechtav. That's a very, very risky kim shtaris because that violates the regular standards for kim shtaris. Kiyam Shtaris, the Mishnah says, Exubus needs two Eidim. So we're letting you get away with one Eid. So what's going to happen? A guy's going to watch these proceedings and say, ooh, those rabbis, they just did Kiyam Shtaris with one Eid. Oh, it must be that's good enough. And the next Din Torah, with dollars and cents, with the document of a loan, the Beis is going to make a mistake and do a Kiyam Shtaris with one Eid. So we want to make sure that everybody realizes that what's happening here is something unique, is something different. Don't confuse this with regular Kiyam Shtaris. So therefore, Chazal instituted the first words, b'fanei nechtav, totally superfluous. According to Rava, there is no reason, no legitimate reason to recite b'fanei nechtav again. I don't care about the ksivas again. All I care about is the witnesses. We throw in for good luck b'fanei nechtav, so people will realize, hey, Why did I just say we find nechtefo? Oh, this is different. Don't derive it. Don't confuse this with regular kiyum shtaros. What a very, very strange presentation. It means the opening line of the Mishnah, you would think that opening line, I may be getting the dinas yam tzarach lo befana nechtam. Not really. You don't really have to say befana nechtam. I mean, you have to say it, but for a totally different reason. For Rabba said back to Rabba, what? Me dummy, why in the world would somebody make such a mistake? They have nothing to do with each other. Hasam yadina, hacha befanai. The text of a kiyum shtaros, when Edom come to certify witnesses, to certify the signatures in the future, they don't say befanai nechtam, befanai nechtam. They say yadina, and they say, we know these are the signatures. Whereas here the text is befanai. Why would anybody think that these two are similar? And another reason, hasam ishalam hemna, hacha ishalam hemna. By kiyum shtaros, a woman is not accepted. A woman is not acceptable to be an aid. Whereas a maybe get, Mishnah says later on, even a woman can be the shliach to bring a get. So you see, these are totally different areas of halacha. In the case of kiyum shtaros, the malva himself can't do kiyum shtaros. The guy who's trying to collect his money, he's going to be the tzaddik. He's going to be the aid on the kiyum shtaros. That's ridiculous. Whereas here, the woman herself can say b'fayin nechtam. There's a Mishnah later on about how the woman can be her own shliach. It's a very creative case. We'll wait till the end of the second parak for it. But you can have all these bizarre halachas that clearly are differentiating between Gittin and Kiyum Shtaros. So why the need for concern? But Rav Amalach, Rav says, no. Atuhacha ki amri yadina milam hemne. If the shliach will come and say, I recognize the signatures, he doesn't say the phrase before nechtav. He says, I recognize the signatures, he'll be accepted. The kaven that the amri yadina hemne, since what he says, Yadin, and I know the signatures he's believed. Also, the red light flashing. This looks like Kiyum Shtaros. The concern is there. And therefore, according to Rava, the entire reason, lock, stock, and barrel for saying B'fai Nechtav is just to avoid confusion with regular Kiyum Shtaros. At the end of the day, Rava's Shita stands. The Mishnah says, you have to say B'fai Nechtav. Rabbah said because of the Shema. Rabbah said because it's the equivalent of Kiyum Shtaros. We understand the nuances as to why Rabbah preferred his pshat, why Rabbah preferred his pshat. Both pshatim are valid interpretations of the Mishnah. But now the Gemara poses the challenge. Right, that's right. For this case, it's a special kulam. This was the kulam Mishavibun, right? But now the Gemara raised the question that goes way, way, way beyond the intricacies of the sugya. Up until now, we've been learning a very, very, almost like technical sugya about this wild case, Ishliya coming, et cetera. The Gemara is now going to relate this to some yisodos, the fundamental principles that relate to all of Maseches Gittin. Probably the most basic fundamental machlokes throughout the entire Masechta. The Gemara is about the question, Rabba Shita. Going back to Rabba now for a moment. You require the Shema. According to Rabbah, that the whole recitation of Befai Nechtav is to confirm that it was done the Shema. Which parts of the get require the Shema? Well, Befai Nechtav, Befai Nechtav. So both the writing of the get, the text proper, as well as the signatures, have to be done the Shema. Yes, it's the Gemara. Really? Who says that? Well, the Rabbah, the Amal of Fish Emiki in the Shema, according to the Rabbah, who says the recitation of Befai Nechtav is because people aren't so up to par in the knowledge of the Shema, Man Hai Tana. Who is that mysterious Tana? The boy Ksiva L'Shema, the boy on the top of Gimel Beis, the boy Chasiva L'Shema. Who is that Tana? So comes the Gemara and references the most basic Machlokes throughout the Masechta, Machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Allah. So we'll give just a moment of introduction before we get to the Gemara proper. Rabbi Meir's opinion is that a get must be signed. If Reuben gives a piece of paper to his wife, it says, Haret Muteres L'Choladam, and there are no signatures in the bottom, even if you have 1,000 witnesses who are watching to give you the get, that get is Botol Umavutol Min HaTorah. Rabbi Meir says the phrase, Eide Chasima Karsei. You require Edom to sign a get. Therefore, according to the view of Rabbi Meir, that Chasimas HaGet is so critical, it is so significant, it is so integral to a get, all of the halachas that the Torah speaks about Gittin, namely, that it has to be Lishma. What is it? Which part of the get has to be Lishma? Rabbi Meir says the Chasimas HaEden has to be Lishma. Does the writing of the get have to be Lishma? No. Presumably, according to Rabbi Meir, the writing of the get it's not really critical. It has to be that you have to have a text. If you have Edom Son on a blank piece of paper, it's not going to go very far. But according to Rav Meir, since the mainstay of the get is the Chasimus HaEdim, all of the halachas that govern writing a get have to be concerning the Chasimus, not concerning the Ksivus. And Rabbi Elazar says, the whole premise of Rabbi Meir is not correct. Rabbi Elazar says, of course you need witnesses for get, but not signed on the bottom of the piece of paper. You need witnesses, what's called Ede Mesira Karse. You have to have witnesses there when the get is handed from the husband to the wife. So everybody agrees you need Edim. Nobody ever said you can have a get without an Edim. It's impossible to have a get without Edim. We're just not sure which Edim we're talking about. According to Rabbi Meir, we're talking about Edim signing. According to Elazar, we're talking about Edim being present at the time of delivery. Suffice it to say, when we give Gittin today, we have Edim signed, we have Edim all over the place. But according to Rabbi Meir, the real Edim are the Edim Chasima. According to Rabbi Elazar, the real Edim are the Edim Mesira. According to Rabbi Elazar, that you don't even need Edim to sign a get. I mean, Torah for sure not, and could be even Midrabani, you don't need Edim to sign a get. According to Rabbi Elazar, all the halachas that govern the get refer to the Ksivus a get, not to the Chasimus a get. Therefore, a get has to be written Lishma. So now the Gemara wants to know, well, who is this mysterious Tanner of our Mishnah who throws the book at you? Everything has to be Lishma. The Ksiva has to be Lishma. And the Chasima. Who is that? It's not Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Elazar. Who is that phantom Tanner? So the Gemara tries to analyze. E Rabbi Meir, the top of Gemara Beis. If it's Rabbi Meir, Chasima boy. So according to Rabbi Meir, the signing has to be Lishma. Ksiva lo boy. The writing of the get does not have to be Lishma, according to Rabbi Meir. How do we know that? The Stan, based on the following Mishnah, the Mishnah, the second parak, it's not even talking about Lishma, it's talking about another halacha that governs a get. There is a halacha that a get has to be written on something which is tolosh minakarka. It has to be something that is detached from the ground. You cannot write a get on a tree and then chop down the tree and hand the branch over to the woman. That's not acceptable. How do we know that? That's a Gemara later on. The Torah says, v'chos of law, sefer kisos v'nosim v'yada. The Torah describes a very, very immediate process. You write it, and then you hand it over. Yotzeh zeh v'chusok tzitzta. Something that has to be detached first. You have to first do something to get to the Nesina. That get is bottle and levuto min haTorah. So comes the Mishnah and says, this not. Ain kosov v'mechub l'karka. You're not allowed to write a get on something that's connected to the ground. But kosov v'mechub l'karka. But if you did write it on something connected to the ground, tolsho chosmo v'nosol kosher. If you did write it, and then you detached it, and then you signed it and immediately handed it over, that's okay. What is that Mishnah saying? What the Mishnah is basically telling us is that the real halacha of mechubar, the fact that the Torah disqualifies mechubar, which part of the get preparation can't be on mechubar? The part that can't be on mechubar is the signing of the get. This is Rabbi Meir speaking, because Rabbi Meir says, all the halachas that govern preparation of a get refer to the chasima. So Eidim, according to Rabbi Meir, Eidim chasima karsei, they're the main focus of the get. All the halachas, lishma, nana mechubar, whatever other halachas you dream up about writing a get in, everything refers to the signatures, not to the actual writing of the text. So therefore, Rabbi Meir cannot be the Tanakh of our Mishnah. Because according to Rabbi Meir, there's no reason to say b'fanai nechtav, according to Rabbah. What do you say nechtav for? Who cares? Nachpat li. But the get was written in Shema. According to Rabbi Meir, the text should be b'fanai nechtav. E Rabbi Elazar, if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar, ksiva boy, chasima lo boy, then you have the absolute opposite. According to Rabbi Elazar, you don't even need Edom to sign again. So why do you need Edom to sign again in Shema? None of the halachas of get preparation refer to the chasima. The chasima is totally superfluous in the Torah. Therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, there's no purpose to sign a get in the Torah. So now we're mamash in a pickle. Because we have this grandiose thing in the Mishnah. The Shaliach says, b'fanai nechtam, which according to Rabbah is a code phrase for lishma, indicating that ksiva needs lishma, chasima needs lishma. Really, who? Which side of it? Name Yatana. Rabbi Meir says, chasima, yes, lishma, not ksiva. Rabbi Elazar says, ksiva, yes, lishma, not chasima. So we have not yet identified who is this phantom Tana. Hopefully, we'll have to show the next year, next Bekiyah Shiur, we'll try to figure out who in the world is the author of our Mishnah that requires both of these procedures to be done.